The following message is from Pastor Lester Cruzat of Emmanuel Community Church. More information about the ministry of Emmanuel Community Church can be found at emmanuelcommunity.org.
But what does it mean to be seen? Right? What does it mean to be seen? If you've ever had someone observe and point out a talent that you possessed that you couldn't even see for yourself, or maybe someone remembered a small detail about you, like a name of your pets or your favorite coffee order, or boss or coworker recognizing the behind-the-scenes blood, sweat, and tears you put into a project with a round of applause, or finding safety and comfort by one who simply acknowledged your pain during a difficult time in your life, then you have a sense of what it means to be seen by another person. On the flip side, we all know what it's like to feel unseen. If you've ever had someone look at their phone or talk over you or change the subject while you're trying to speak to them, right? Or maybe you were labeled for most of your life as the shy one, the loud one, the forgetful one, right? And where you feel that people only think of you as the label they assigned you. Or if you've ever felt like a total tool or object where you found that a friend was only interested in what you can do for them, whether it's your money, connections, your skills, and the moment you no longer are useful, they just move on. If any of these things have happened to you, then you know what it's like to be unseen by another. You see, it doesn't matter. It really doesn't matter if you characterize yourself as an introvert or how independently strong or mentally tough you think you are. You can even characterize yourself as an emotional stoic. But human beings long to have another person look into their face with loving respect, deep understanding, and care. No amount of self-discipline or willpower can erase this universal, hardwired need. Being seen is a deep human need that goes beyond simply just being noticed, right? Just being seen by physical eyes. It means to see someone else and to have them know and felt that they are seen, that they're seen as so, is to actually know another person, have them feel valued, heard, understood, and safe. It's an attentive, engaged, and loving acknowledgement for who you truly are. And we desire this rich attention. We are a species that need recognition as much as the air we breathe. You know, the greatest punishment we can give another person is treating them as if they were unimportant or worse, invisible. The worst sin against one another is not hatred, but the sin of indifference towards one another. It essentially gives the inherent message that you don't matter, and even worse, you don't exist. Our society has an epidemic of blindness towards one another. Our own homes are not immune to this disease of blindness, right? A common cause of many couples' fights are about missing and not seeing one another. Right. Our own children experience time and time again that they are not seen or heard. This disease of blindness is not isolated to our homes. Sadly, it is often a silent epidemic, even in our own church community. In our own church community at ICC, the Lord has blessed us much. But one of the main reasons why people and sometimes even entire families from our church leave, from youth to adults, is this lack of being seen, where relational connections are not made and the sense of belonging and purpose are lost in a soup of hurt from feeling non-existent from the very people they call brothers and sisters in Christ. People are looking for healing. And we know this because the best-selling books are about people who want to heal. One of the best-selling books of our era is Vander Koch, titled The Body Keeps the Score. It's a book on trauma, and she writes this. Knowing that we are seen and heard by the important people in our lives, it can make us feel calm and safe, and being ignored or dismissed can precipitate rage reactions and mental collapse. This epidemic of blindness makes the intense political climate we are in and accompanying violence almost unexpected. Right. According to research by the American Enterprise Institute, people who are lonely are 7 times more likely than non-lonely to say that they are active in politics. And so you ask, why is that? Well, for them, experts say, politics becomes a sort of therapy to those who feel devalued and unseen. It becomes a place of belonging, as well as offering an arena of moral action, right? It gives them purpose. All right, the bottom line is this, okay? We are losing the ability to see and understand one another, creating this brutal and isolating culture. It's just filled with animosity and failed connections, loss of intimacy, and distrust with one another. And this is not what God intended. This is not what the kingdom of God is all about, right? But rather, it's supposed to be a place where people are seen, recognized, and cared for. Right? But how do we go about building this kingdom, right, out of this mess all around us? I'd say that we can be agents of healing as we start to realize the power of what it means to truly see one another. David Brooks, in the book that I just mentioned, How to Know a Person, seeing someone well is a powerfully creative act. No one can fully appreciate their own beauty and strength unless those things are mirrored back to them in the mind of another. There is something in being seen that brings forth growth. If you beam the light of your attention on me, I blossom. If you see great potential in me, I will probably come to see great potential in myself. If you can understand my frailties and sympathize with me, when my life treats me harshly, then I am more likely to have the strength to weather the storms of life. David Brooks is saying we are called to be agents of affirmation to one another. We are at our very best when we are seen through the help of others. There comes growth, healing, flourishing, resilience, when we see each other well. No one, absolutely no one, taught and showed this better than Jesus Christ himself. In John 4, 1-42, Jesus intentionally travels to a prohibited region called Samaria, right, especially by Jewish teachers. Right? He sits and speaks with a woman, which is a big social faux pas, and she's pretty much a social outcast, right, that has been married 5 times and living with a man outside of marriage, where everyone else sees her as a social pariah and sinner who belonged to a despised ethnic group. Jesus saw her as a person who was worthy of attention and care. One thing we can do to really hinder seeing others is something we call stacking. You guys know what stacking is? Okay. You learn one thing about a person, then an avalanche of assumptions start taking over, right? So if this person supports a particular candidate, political candidate, or part of a political party, ethnic group, school even, then you think, oh, this person's like this and like that, like this. Whenever someone asks me what my profession is, I'm like, I'm a pastor, and sometimes I get, oh, that's interesting. Other times I get, oh, that's interesting. Oh. And I feel like the latter response is like they're doing some stacking on me, right? Oh, this narrow-minded Bible thumper, right? Or, oh, you're Filipino? Oh, you must know how to dance and sing, and you want to be a nurse? Those aren't entirely untrue, so those are pretty good. My point is this. Jesus doesn't stack. Okay? Jesus doesn't stack. He breaks through all the social and religious walls and negative assumptions to engage with the woman. He speaks to her as a unique individual about living water, what brings about the quenching of the thirst of the heart, and reveals how much he truly knows her and sees her. Right? It is this very act of being seen, shown love and kindness, being given a new hope instead of being condemned, that she becomes the first evangelist of the Gospel of John. Jesus' sight of her brought her restoration, healing, and purpose. And I'll do one more account. In the book of Luke, it tells of an account where Jesus comes over his good friends Martha and Mary's place. This is one of my favorite accounts. Upon his arrival, Martha goes into this ultimate serving mode, running around like crazy, cooking and cleaning, while Mary, Martha's sister, was sitting by Jesus' feet, finding true intimacy with him. In Martha's frustration, she even commands Jesus to tell her seemingly lazy sister, "Lord, tell Mary to help me." Right? And what does Jesus do? Jesus doesn't impulsively give a command for Martha to stop in order to stop the stress. He sees her, observes her, and says her name with deep desperation and concern. She says her name twice, Martha, Martha. You're worried and troubled about many things. Jesus not only enters Mary and Martha's home, but he actually enters into Mary's struggle, right? Joining her in her lost, filled panic from any insecurities that may be screaming at her that she's not enough and how she's not worthy of his love unless she proves she is. Jesus gently cries out, meeting her in the middle of her panic, and gently redirects her with a message of grace. You don't have to do, Martha, just be. Be with me and know that I see you, for not for what you have to offer or prove. You can just rest in my gaze for you. You know, these are probably my most favorite times of prayer, when I'm just sitting there in the middle of my conversation with the Lord, and all of a sudden this realization sinks in that my Father actually sees me. He knows me. He accepts me. Loves every part of me tirelessly, recklessly, extravagantly. And then tears of joy and thankfulness just start streaming down my face, readying me for the day. Nothing like resting in his gaze. In each of these scenarios, the woman at the well, Martha, and many, many more, Jesus saw the nail. It was their sin, right? Their social and religious standing, their wrong attitudes, their behavior, their corrupted choices. But instead of putting a hammer of judgment or harsh correction on their nails, Jesus went after the person. He went after their inner turmoil, their emotional stress and pain, shame and hopelessness. He went after the person, and each one, what happened? Flourished. They each got a taste of the abundant life Jesus so often talks about. And it all started with what? Jesus seeing them. Jesus does not neglect the cause of the pain, but he prioritizes the one in pain by first seeing them so deeply and thoroughly, it is there that they can find rescue and healing. I grew up in a household that didn't see one another very well. We loved each other. We did. We loved each other. But there were a number of hurtful moments involving us not hearing one another and not having a safe space to share what we really thought. We just couldn't listen to one another. We paid too much attention to the effect we had on each other. You showed anger, sadness. It was either minimalized, invalidated, or extinguished. Quick. And it was just about doing the right thing, the right way. We could never see each other's point of view. There was just no room for one another emotionally. Unfortunately, man, this broken family culture and pattern has crept its way into my own parenting. I find myself making the same mistakes. When there's even an innocent, strong emotion coming from one of my kids, a strong, aggressive emotion comes back with a vengeance. My brokenness was causing in me a blindness towards my kids, particularly my daughter, Hannah. Seeing her as a threat and an enemy rather than a child that needed to be guided, supported, and caught when they were falling in the chaos of her own emotions. Man, and it was getting to a place where I really needed help. Right. And it wasn't becoming safe for the kids. So I needed to do some work, finding a great counselor, finding prayer and support from our church family, and crying out to God for help. And you know, I'll never forget this amazing breakthrough moment when I finally saw Hannah with clear eyes. In December of 2021, I woke up one day, and I felt different. I felt free, felt like I could breathe again. Right? The negative feelings and voices in my head, silent. There was a peace, a quiet, so deafening. Getting up from my bed, I remember making my way to Hannah's room, waking her up, only to stare for a good while. Must have been weird for her, but I was like staring at her because she looked different. I didn't see a threat. I didn't see a trigger to my anger. I didn't see her someone who was unsafe. I saw her. I saw my Hannah for who she really is. I saw her for who God created her to be. My daughter that needed a father. I've always wanted to protect, to provide, to be unhindered in my affection and interactions with my children. But now, for the first time, I felt like it was actually doable. I felt like a fog that lay between me and Hannah just was lifted after all these years. I was able to hold her with not only my arms, but finally my entire heart. And don't get me wrong, I'm still in the process, and my clear eyes for her are not always there. Right? There are still some discouraging times when I fail her, where the blinds are put on again, but the blinds aren't as tough to open as they were before, praise the Lord. By God's full sight and love for me, I can see my daughter. I'm encouraged that there are more times where I can clearly see Hannah and give her the loving attention she needs. It truly is a journey of seeing her as God intended, seeing Hannah as how my Heavenly Father sees me. You see, seeing one another is truly a powerful thing, right? And we can clearly see this from what we're about to see as just a short clip on a study done by a Jubilee Project called The Bridge. It's called Face to Face, and it's a video about being seen. Seeing others is such a powerful thing. It really is. It can bring up all these realizations of beauty and appreciation as you look, focus, and find yourself seeing another fully. Even for a moment, completing the both of you. Is there someone in your life that needs to be seen? Where do you even begin? Maybe you can start by mimicking just an important part of the staring study we just saw. Just stopping everything to look at one another. That's how Jesus' miracles of healing started. Pausing, bringing his full attention and care, centering the person first upon his heart, then healing for the woman at the well, and Mary happened from there. Experience the power of the pause and just take time to just to look. Push the slow motion button on your life and look. I think you'd be surprised in what you'll find. It makes sense. In order to see people, let's start with our eyes and simply take time to gaze and allow yourself to sit in that moment for a while. I'll close with this. In the book of Exodus 33, we find that the Lord met with Moses, his servant Moses, on the mountain called Sinai. But God only reveals his back out of caution that if Moses were to see his face, he would certainly die from taking a gaze of his glory. As the text states, "You cannot see my face," the Lord says, "for no one may see me and live." Moses was only allowed to see God's back, but in Jesus, we get to see Jesus' face. We get to see God's face. Christ died on the cross so we know how truly seen we are by him. And when we grasp and experience being seen by God, it frees us to turn our gaze outward and see others in the same way. We then become the agents of healing through being the gaze of Christ for those that need it the most. Let's be that gift to our broken and divided world. Let's pray.